The Senate will please come to order. Roll call.
Roll call for Thursday, February 25th. Anderson?
Here.
Barnard?
Here.
Bebout?
Here.
Boner?
Here.
Burns?
Here.
Case?
Present.
Christensen?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
Cooper?
Here.
Kraft?
Here.
Dockstetter?
Here.
Driscoll?
Here.
Emmerich?
Here.
Escabel?
Here.
Geis?
Here.
Hastert?
Here.
Hicks?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Kinski?
Here.
Landon?
Here.
Meyer?
Here.
Pappas?
Here.
Perkins?
Here.
Peterson?
Here.
Ross?
Excused.
Rothfuss?
Here.
Scott?
Here.
Von Fladern?
Here.
Wasserberger?
Excused.
President Nicholas?
Here.
Wasserberger?
Is unexcused.
Present. Roth?
Unexcused.
Present. 30 present.
The prayer this morning is being led by Reverend Marston. Let me give you the mic.
Let us bow our heads in prayer.
Hold on a second, Reverend. There you go. You've got it. I was just giving you the mic.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Our Lord in heaven, we know that life is often a labyrinth of wrong turns, start, stops, lost paths. Our Lord, we know that we sometimes become frustrated and angry, confused, but let us be mindful that you are always in control. You give us guidance, light, the way, that no matter how confused the world may seem, you are always on your throne. And for this, we give great thanks. These things we pray through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please join me with the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Play ball. First item of business is the reading and correction of the journal. Will the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 24, 2016 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Wasserberger, Chairman.
You've heard the report. Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Let's see. The doctor of the day is there is no doctor, but we have two nurses, Don Morgan and Sam Gibbons from Sheridan. I don't see them. We'll welcome them when they come in later. 1868, Cheyenne passed an ordinance against gambling and disorderly houses. I mean, they must have meant the house on the other side. Session status. Today is day 14 of the proposed 20-day session. Friday, tomorrow, will be the last day for bills to be reported out of committee in the second house. Senator Johnson.
Privilege of the floor.
Yes, you may.
Get this where I want it. Thank you, Mr. President. Sitting in the gallery, if they'll stand, is Mrs. DeFree's fourth grade class from St. Mary's School here in Cheyenne.
Hey. Thank you, and welcome.
They've been out there for hours.
See, today is our Military Appreciation Day. Fellow members, we are honored to have the Wyoming's Adjutant General, Major General Luke Reiner, with us today to recognize the military members sitting in the gallery. Every year we welcome these brave men and women to the Senate and thank them for their service and their sacrifices. General, we invite you to say a few words, and as customary, when you come here, I'd like to know where our readiness center is.
Well, thank you, Mr. President, and I report to you that your readiness center is well on its way.
Good.
So, Mr. President, esteemed senators and staff, thank you so much for letting us come spend a little bit of time with you this morning. And first, on behalf of the 3,000 men and women of the Wyoming Military Department, we absolutely thank you for your solid and consistent support. We could ask for no better. I would share with you that in a world of increasing turbulence, your men and women of the Wyoming Military Department are representing you and your state incredibly well. Today, we have 50 soldiers from the Army National Guard deployed to Afghanistan, where they're serving, obviously, their state and their nation. That includes members of our medical evacuation unit flying over the rugged terrain of Afghanistan on medevac missions, and also members of our field artillery battalion who are shooting artillery missions for the first time since the Korean War. What I report to you is that they are decisively engaged and doing absolutely great. Additionally, we will have more of our soldiers and about 150 airmen from our Air National Guard deploying just a little bit later this year. These men and women from your hometowns across the state are training in earnest as they start to focus on their upcoming deployment. I am pleased to have with me today a few of the men and women who will deploy overseas soon to serve their country and continue the honorable tradition of the Wyoming Guard. What I'd like to ask them to stand, and what I'd like to do is, go ahead, is introduce to you this morning Lieutenant Maria Stoughton, Lieutenant Robert Stettler, Chief Warrant Officer 3 Joe Stanfill, and Senior Airman Tyler Scala. And I'd like you to join me in thanking these men and women for their service. Thank you very much, and we know God will take care of them as they deploy and bring them safely home. I'll tell you, last year, you guys can go ahead and sit down. So, thanks. I'll tell you, last year, the Guard deployed on a state mission to support flood recovery in Lusk. The efforts of your Guard did support state agencies as they responded to the residents of that town and the surrounding area. And what I would just share with you is that those missions, helping Wyoming residents at home, are truly the most rewarding of any of the missions that your soldiers and airmen can conduct. Finally, this morning, I would like to thank you for your support of the Wyoming Cowboy Challenge Academy. Next week actually marks 10 years of operations, and we'll celebrate that with a special event held by the agency's foundation. That program has been a positive influence for many young Wyoming lives throughout the years. And I'm so proud of the work of our counselors and mentors who work in that program to tirelessly make an effort to provide guidance to our state's at-risk youth. Some of the cadets are here today back in the galley, and if you'd stand, please, I'd like to take advantage of introducing them and let you recognize them for them having the courage to change.
Thank you.
So Mr. President, and members of the Senate, thank you so much for the time to speak here today and for the opportunity to recognize the men and women of the Wyoming Military Department. And with that,
Major General, thank you for allowing us to honor you. Thank you for being here and through all the folks in the service. And we really do appreciate your service for Wyoming as well as the United States. Thank you very much for being here. Senator Perkins.
May I have the privilege of the floor, Mr.
You
President?
May.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, back in the viewing area of the fishbowl, we have Mrs. Kellick and Mrs. Bunce. Well, wait a second. We have taller Wyoming Challenge Academy folks in front of the littler folks, or the shorter folks. Anyway, they are here visiting their fifth grade class, visiting from Fort Casper Academy. If you had, if you guys would wave back here in the Fort Casper Academy, that's. Mr. President, as you know, we have School of Choice in Casper, and the Fort Casper Academy is one of the many great schools we have there. That one's particular, and they're known for their achievement and for parent involvement and a number of other great things. And we'll get some more. We'll get the rest of Mrs. Kellick's class, and Mr. Tetteridge's class will be here in a while. So thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Thank you for joy having everybody. Senator Landon.
Mr. President, thank you. May I have a special privilege of the floor, please?
More special than the other.
Well, yeah,
you get a real special spot. Right,
the reason it's special is that I may fumble it a little bit, but since it's Military Day, I thought it might be appropriate, and I hope with your indulgence, it's okay for me to send a shout out to my dad. He's one of those guys that a little over 70 years ago, he crawled across France, and they broke through the German lines. And they won World War II. He came home with a Purple Heart and a Bronze Star. And he's one of the few that we have left from that great war. And so anytime it's Military Day here at the legislature, I think of him and I think of all those veterans out there. And I just want to make sure that they know that the Wyoming State Senate is thinking of them and thanking them and sending all of our best regards to our veterans out there. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, and thank you for sharing that with us. Here. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. And my good colleague from Natrona County, that came from the heart. And member of the Senate, I would be remiss if I didn't talk about someone very near and dear to me, and that's my mother. Who was 95 years old, was one of the first people from the state of Wyoming to become a WAVE. And somehow they had a picture of her marching, and she was so proud. And we go to Teton County, Senator Christensen, for the annual 4th of July, and they play Anchors Away, and she stands up, and I'm crying for the service all these wonderful people did for this great country called America. So thanks, Bill, for bringing that up. And we all have those kind of things, and from this Senate, to all of those veterans, the very best. And my goodness, where would we be without what they did for America? Thank you.
Here, here. Senator Barnard.
President, I'll be really brief. This is the picture of my dad, P-51 fighter pilot in World War II. At age 21, he was fighting. He was flying the fastest, most well-equipped aircraft in the Second World War. I just want you to know I have military background, too, and I support all these meetings here. Thank you.
Senator Anderson, you may have it.
With all this discussion, maybe we should recognize the veterans in the Senate. Would all the veterans please stand?
Here, here,
here.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We're at that order of business of House bills on first reading. House Bill 105, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 105, ABLE Act, an act relating to welfare, sponsored by Representative Throne. Passed the House, ayes 59, noes 1.
House Bill 105 is assigned to committee number one, Judiciary. House Bill 118, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 118, Foster Care and Permanency, Additional Requirements, an Act Relating to Children, sponsored by Representative Throne, passed the House, ayes 51, noes 9.
House Bill 118 is referred to Committee number 10, Labor. We're at that order of business of bills on second reading. House Bill 20, House Bill 20, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 20, State Public Purpose Investments Reporting.
There are no amendments. There appears to be no discussion. House Bill 20, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 21, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 21, State Public Purpose Investments Revisions.
There appears to be no amendments, no discussion. House Bill 21, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 31, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 31, Uniform Securities Act.
There is no amendments, no discussion. House Bill 31, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 46, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 46, Investment of Workers' Compensation Account.
There are no amendments, no discussion. House Bill 46, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 51, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 51, Local Government Distributions.
There are no amendments, no discussion. House Bill 51, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 54, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 54, Treasury Offset Program Statutory Reference Amendments.
House Bill 54, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 60, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 60, State Health Facility Missions, Statutory Compliance.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I wasn't able to join you on with the discussion of this bill, House Bill 60, State Health Facility Mission Statutory Compliance, yesterday, but I was able to listen to the discussion on the Internet. And, Mr. President, I tell you, it's exciting to be in a hospital sitting there listening to you guys talk.
Is that a little sarcasm there?
Mr. President, it was good, very good discussion on that bill yesterday. There's one point I'd like to make. Reference was made to the Olmstead decision, and that the Olmstead decision requires us to remove people from our state facilities. And Mr. President, I'd like to read from the Olmstead decision. This is from the majority opinion. It says, we emphasize nothing in the ADA or its implementing regulations condones termination of institutional settings for persons unable to handle or benefit from community settings. Nor is there any federal requirement that community-based treatments be imposed on patients who do not desire it, Mr. President. That's at 19. I can give the exact reference and page to the decision. So, and it says, we recognize as well that states need to maintain a range of facilities for the care and treatment of persons with diverse disabilities, and states' obligation to administer these services with an even hand. And Mr. President, I bring that forward just to tell you that there will be a place for a state-run facility for a very long time to come. And I think that our thinking that it is limited only to this so-called legacy population is in error. And I think time will show that. But I do not want the Senate to move this bill forward without thinking that the federal law says that it's not an appropriate place, because it is. And in fact, the persons with developmental disabilities, that program at the Life Resource Center now, is smaller than most of the community programs in the country by spades. So we need to support both sets of services, Mr. President, but we need to keep the door open to the future for more people with very profound and very severe developmental disabilities to have that as a long-term option. And we just have to realize federal law doesn't prohibit it. It's smaller than most of the community programs in the country, and it can be a decent option for some folks who need it very badly. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Any further discussion on the bill? Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I think the bill accurately reflects the Olmstead decision, and I do think that as you read that language carefully and think about it, the federal law doesn't require us to place anybody there. It doesn't give the clients and their families unlimited choice either. I think we are at liberty to say if there's a less restrictive environment that works and is less costly to the state, that environment can be where we do place somebody, and we're not required to put anybody in the Wyoming Life Resource Center unless they are so severe that is the least restrictive placement. Mr. President, we're at liberty to, but we're not required to.
Thank you. Any further discussion on that? House Bill 63, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection, if so ordered? I'm not sure what I said. I'll reread it. House Bill 63.
60.
I buried it in the... How about if I take the bottom one off the stack? Thank you very much. House Bill 60, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 63, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 63, Healthcare Facility Receivership Act.
Any discussions? No amendments? House Bill 63, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 88, second reading of the bill. I apologize. I pulled that out of the stack. House Bill 85, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would ask that House Bill 85 be laid back one day.
Without objection, House Bill 85 is laid back one day. House Bill 88, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 88, ETS zero-based budget sunset.
There are no amendments, no discussion. House Bill 88 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We do have some reports from standing committees.
February 25, 2016. Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, to whom was referred House Joint Resolution 4 engrossed, Gray Wolves and Grizzly Bears, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anderson, Barnard, Cooper, Kraft, and Johnson, Senator Cooper, Chairman. February 24, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, to whom was referred House Bill 49, Engrossed, Abandoned Vehicles 2, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Boner, Emmerich, Escobel, Johnson, and Meyer, Senator Meyer, Chairman. Mr. President, February 25, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Joint Resolution 2, engrossed, Kenny Saylor's Naismith Hall of Fame, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Coe, Dockstader, Landon, Pappas, and Rothfuss, Senator Coe, Chairman. February 24, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 8, to whom was referred House Bill 66, Retired Firefighters License Plates Renewal, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Boner, Emmerich, Escobel, Johnson, and Meyer, Senator Meyer, Chairman. February 24, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, to whom was referred House Bill 39, engrossed, Enhanced Speeding Fines Amendments, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Boner, Escobel, and Meyer. Noes, Senators Emmerich and Johnson. Senator Meyer, Chairman. February 25, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, to whom was referred House Bill number 17, engrossed, Collection of Antlers and Horns, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Anderson, Kraft, and Johnson. Noes, Senators Barnard and Cooper. Senator Cooper, Chairman.
Do we have any other reports or messages? No messages from the House. Okay. We're at that order of business of bills on third and final reading. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Yes, we do, Mr. President. I move third reading consent list to consist of the following House bills. House Bill 2, Electric Vehicle Decal. House Bill 28, Cease and Transfer Program Local Government Funding. House Bill 32, Insurance Regulation Parity. And House Bill 52, School Facilities Appropriations 3.
Would any of the members like any of those bills removed from the consent list? Having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? House Bill 2, Electric Vehicle Decal. House Bill 28, Cease and Transfer Program Local Government Funding. House Bill 32, Insurance Regulation Parity. And House Bill 52, School Facilities Operations 3. Will the Chief Clerk... House Bill 52, School Facilities Appropriations 3. Thank you. Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
On the consent list, Anderson.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Boner.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader. Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Escobel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Kinski.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Pappas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Fladern.
Aye.
Wasserberger.
Aye.
President Nicholas.
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 aye. House Bill 2, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 2, 30-I. House Bill 28, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 28, 30-I. House Bill 32, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 32, 30-I. House Bill 52, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Pappas, conflict. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 52, 27 aye, 2 no, 1 conflict.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 2, 28, 32, and 52 have all passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we are at that order of business of bills on general file.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move the Senate resolve itself and the Committee of the Whole discuss bills on general file.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That motion has been adopted. Senator Meyer.
Okay, Committee of the Whole will please come to order. First bill for consideration is House Joint Resolution 2. Will the reading clerk please read in the amendment? Or please read the bill, excuse me.
House Joint Resolution 2, Kenny Saylor's Naismith Hall of Fame, an act relating joint resolution recognizing the contributions of Kenny Saylor's to the game of basketball and encouraging his election to the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame, sponsored by Representative Blake, was referred to Committee Number 4, Education, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Coe, Dockstader, Landon, Pappas, and Rothfuss. Senator Coe, Chairman.
Senator Coe.
Mr. Chairman, move when Committee of the Whole Rights report do so with the do-pass recommendation on House Joint Resolution 2 and defer to Senator Landon.
Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. It's an honor to stand and encourage support to the body for House Joint Resolution 2. I was very happy to sign on to this resolution and really commend the sponsor for coming up with the idea. The only regret that we all had, those of us who signed on the bill, Mr. Chairman, was that 3 days before the bill was drafted and before it was made public, 3 days before that, we lost Kenny Saylor, one of the great gentlemen, one of the great guys from Wyoming. What this joint resolution does, if you haven't had an opportunity to read all the way through it, I hope you will, and I won't do that for you. But I want to point out, first of all, Mr. Chairman, there was a slight change made on the other side, and that's why you do have a green sheet, and that's to reflect the fact that we have lost Mr. Saylors, and so the presentation would be made to his family and not to himself. And so that's the change, and that's why you do have the green sheet. Fellow senators, Kent Saylors was one of the great statesmen, ambassadors, man of God, family guy. I was fortunate enough, many of you know, in my former life, to be a sports writer who got to travel around the United States and cover a lot of big basketball games, and I had the opportunity to meet Ken Saylors, one of the true greats, and not just because he played basketball, but I think it's entirely appropriate that the Wyoming legislature send this resolution back to the Naismith Hall of Fame. To me, that's the all-encompassing Hall of Fame. Kenny Saylors is in the College Hall of Fame, but the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame, that's the big umbrella group. And no question that he belongs there. That jump shot that he crafted right here in southeast Wyoming has gone on to revolutionize that game. And I think that's probably enough, Mr. Chairman. As predicted by our Chairman of Education, this bill took about 30 seconds in committee. So unless there's any questions, I would encourage your support of House Joint Resolution 2. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Seeing no, are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Coe's motion that when we rise and report, we do so. If they do pass motion on House Joint Resolution 2, please say aye. Those opposed? House Joint Resolution has number 2 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill. You got me on this one? Okay. Is House Joint Resolution 4. The reading clerk, please read the resolution.
House Joint Resolution 4, Gray Wolves and Grizzly Bears. A joint resolution requesting Congress to seek removal of the gray wolf and grizzly bear populations from listing under the Endangered Species Act and to assist in funding programs and services for gray wolf and grizzly bear management. Sponsored by Representative Summers. It was referred to committee number 6, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anderson, Barnard, Cooper, Kraft, and Johnson. Senator Cooper, Chairman.
Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that when the committee of the whole rises to report, they do so with the recommendation that House Joint Resolution 4, Gray Wolves and Grizzly Bears, do pass. Mr. Chairman, there is no standing committee amendments, and I'll refer to me to present the bill.
Go for it.
Mr. Chairman, this is a resolution is pretty simple. It requests Congress to speedily seek removal of the gray wolf and the grizzly bear from the protection under the Endangered Species Act. As you know, there's been a couple of court actions here in recent years that have put that back to the feds, and there's been considerable issues with that. Further, it requests Congress to seek federal money for management of these species and compensation for individuals suffering losses from these species, both before delisting and after the species are delisted, if that ever happens, I guess. One of the problems we're having is that when it was court order to put these species back under the federal government, particularly the wolves, the agency that was responsible for doing this didn't really have any funding to take care of it. And as a result, they've been doing very little to be able to either control these or be able to monitor the actions of these type of species. So we'd like the federal government to step in and do something with that. The feds consistently apply strings to management of species post-delisting. This creates an unfunded mandate for states and individuals affected. The federal government provides very little money, currently to help states manage federally protected species. These actions are needed because livestock producers continue to be impacted by these large carnivores, and the state and sportsmen continue to foot the bill for the management and damage caused by these species. Especially in time of declining state revenues, the federal government must accept financial responsibilities for these rules that they inflict upon the states. I have seen a great deal of expansion of the grizzly bear, like most of us, and also the gray wolf, and into and beyond the delisting point that they were, or the criteria that they were set up for to begin with. In many cases, ranchers have continued to have greater losses from these species of through depredation. Some of them have gone all the way from back to 2% maybe in the 1990s. Now they're up to 13 and 14% of loss. And this doesn't even count the number of calves that they've probably lost in many of the herds out there. Mr. Chairman, I just ask for your support and favorable consideration of this House Joint Resolution.
Any discussion? Seeing none, the question is on Senator Cooper's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report, it do so with the do-pass motion on House Joint Resolution 4. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, no. House Joint Resolution 4 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next file.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
May I approach you the floor?
Certainly, you may. One moment, let's get your mic turned on. You're good.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, also back in the gallery today, we've got the other half of Mrs. Kellick's class, if they'd wave. The other half of Mrs. Kellick's class. There's a few there. And also Mr. Tedderud and his fifth grade class are here there, too, if they'd wave. And now, as you know, Casper's a school of choice, and so I'm sure that we have constituents from Senator Landon and Senator Scott and Senator Anderson all have, I'm sure, have constituents among our folks at these young, fine young men and women of Fort Casper Academy. If you join in saying hi, I'd appreciate it.
Next file for our consideration is House Bill 66. Will the reading clerk please read in the file?
House Bill number 66, Retired Firefighters License Plate Renewal, an act relating to motor vehicles, sponsored by Representative Blake, was assigned to Committee number 8, Transportation, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Boner, Emmerich, Escobel, Johnson, and Meyer. Senator Meyer, Chairman.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 66 do pass. And I would now like to turn it over to its Senate sponsor, Senator Bernard.
Senator Johnson, can you roll with this one?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not prepared for that.
Okay, well, go ahead. I think the acting chairman of transportation can run with this.
Well, I guess that I'm going to turn it over to Senator Johnson, that dashing young man from Northeast Cheyenne and Eastern Laramie County. A really simple bill, Mr. Chairman. Right now, when firemen renew their license, they're required to take in a certification from the department that they're a firefighter. And all they're saying is that they want to be able to take in a certification once at the beginning of the system that says, I'm a firefighter, they can get their license plates, and then after that they can just renew it. I don't see why not to do this. I have a military driver's license, and when I go in to renew it and get my sticker, I don't have to prove anything. I've already proved once with my DD-214 that I am a veteran. So it's a simple bill, and I would ask that it be approved. Is that what it said? Thank you. I would ask that you vote aye in this, and stop having to have them do this and stop having the treasurers have to put up with it. Thank you.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I know I'm kind of tilting at windmills here, but I was renewing my registration of my car and in my local county treasurer's, and up on the wall above, they have all the license plates going back to the 20s, E1, for each thing. And then starting just a few years ago, all of a sudden the number of license plates just exploded. The number of different types of license plates just exploded. And every one of them, some rationale was given, and we have to honor the military. Not only just honor the military, we have to honor each branch of the military. They each have to have their own different license plate. And then there's the Pearl Harbor survivor plate, and then we not only had to give them their license plates, then we had to give their surviving widows got a Pearl Harbor survivor license plate. And then the firefighter's license plate came along, as well as the EMS license plate. And the idea, the rationale for that was the idea if there was some emergency, that if somebody had a firefighter's license plate, then it would be known right up front that they could be of service. I'm trying to figure out, and I'm a retired firefighter myself, I'm trying to figure out what the benefit or what the use to the state is of having a retired firefighter's license plate in the first place.
I was about to bring that up, Senator. The bill is not to determine whether or not there is a retired firefighter plate. The bill is to determine the procedure, which is already in statute, as to how a retired firefighter obtains a plate in subsequent years after it obtaining a plate. So we'll go to the good senator from... let's see.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Standing on and for this, I appreciate the previous testimony with the great recognition for a military service. I believe that was his intent from the previous speaker. And this is a great little bill, and let's move it ahead.
Question been called for. Any other discussion? Questions on Senator Johnson's motion, and when the committee of the whole rises and report it, do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 66. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay.
No.
House Bill 66 has passed committee of the whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 39. Would the reading clerk please read in the bill?
House Bill number 39, Enhanced Speeding Fines Amendments, an act relating to motor vehicles, sponsored by Representative Greer. It was referred to Committee number 8, Transportation, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Boner, Escobel, Meyer. Noes, Senators Emmerich and Johnson. Senator Meyer, Chairman.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you once again, Mr. Chairman. I would move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report on Senate File 39, that it do so with a recommendation of due pass, and I would turn it over to the Senate sponsor of House Bill 39, Senator Coe.
Senator Coe.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not the one on this bill. I have not been asked to carry it on the floor, and I think that's inappropriate. If somebody would like to have me carry the bill, they should let me know.
I apologize, Senator Coe.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just reading off the list here.
Okay, one moment.
Let me look on the bill. I'm just reading off the list. Who has a 39?
Senator Geis. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, it says Senators Cohen Geis.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Geis is prepared to do this. I believe he was in the committee room. So, Senator Geis, it's all yours.
Have they moved the bill?
Yes, the bill has been moved. Okay.
What they're doing with this bill is right now the for your pickups and all those kind of things, why the GVW is $26,000 or $25,000. And the modern-day rancher and the modern-day camper and the modern-day anything you want to do with these new vehicles have a gross weight of more than $25,000. So they're moving the weight on page 2, page 1, page 2, from $25,000 up to or $26,000 up to $39,000. So that all you people with those big fancy pickups and whatever you're doing with them, you'll be able to drive those and go anywhere you want on your regular driver's license. You get above that, then you got to have a Class C license, and then if you get a little higher than that, you got to have a CDL, and that's what this doing. And then you get above that. Why, you had a $100 fine. If you see on line 14, by exceeding the speed limit of 70 miles per hour while operating, all we got left is just this green sheet. Well, I guess I've talked about everything. Limits, violations, speed limits. The whole ball of wax, so I'd ask your favored vote on House Bill 39.
Thank you. Senator Von Flateren.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just curious. They had a $300 fine if you went over. That's what this bill does, is it takes it over 6 miles an hour. You pay a $300 fine for a vehicle, used to be 26, and they moved it up to 39. So was there any testimony about why it was there originally, and is there any better stopping distance or something? They can drive faster, and that way they will stop in the same distance and only be same fine of $300, or did they just decide to move it up to 39?
Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, just a quick question. I'm sure it's probably me not tracking this through properly, but I think this bill, if I'm reading it correctly, and maybe the sponsors can help me if not, but I think it just deals with the speeding fines. I don't think that boosts your ability on driver's licenses all the way up to 39,000 pounds, if I'm reading this correctly, and if not, that would be helpful to me. So, thank you.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, and about the license plates. No, I'm sorry. No, I'm curious. On the original bill, it says on the title portion, it says deals with violations for speed limits, but on the on the bill that came over, so there was an amendment in the House that deals with a repealer, and there is a repealer on here, and I was wondering what it is that got repealed.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, I think. Okay, the repealer is 3118704. Right. And the $300 was in there, and then 3118074 is an original $100 fine. Of course, they can go down the highway and pay $100 fines all day long. So what this does is take out the $100 fine, which leaves the $300 fine, obviously a lot more of money, and the drivers might pay attention to that.
Senator Von Flater.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just trying to figure this out. without any, why, I guess my question is, why did they used to have a $300 fine for $26,000 and suddenly we're making it $39,000? I know we did some changes in licensing for gross weight of vehicles and the type of license you needed to have, but this still shouldn't then, I don't know why it affects this. So without any kind of stopping distance test, let's say now a 39,000-pound vehicle can still stop in this distance, so why are we charging them over the $300 if they're over 26,000? It just seems there need to be some proof other than just jacking it up on weight.
Senator Geis.
There were two different categories of fine. One was $100, and then the big CDL, the big trucks, anything over 20, back when it was 26,000 GVW, above that, that was a $300 fine if you got caught over 5-6 miles over the speed limit. So all they're doing here is making this one the same as the big trucks. You get to go up to 39,000 GVW, and then, but if you're flying down the road, why, you get caught, why, it's going to be a $300 fine instead of the $100 fine, as the old bill read.
Senator Johnson, would you take over the chair for a while? I want to answer a couple of questions.
Train's coming.
Okay. Senator Meyer.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Folks, basically, the old 26,000-pound was the original commercial cutoff when you determined that a vehicle is 26,000 pounds. And essentially, that's just a two-ton truck, duals, you know, like your 500, 600 series trucks. That was considered a commercial truck in the day. Now, what this does, bill does in two ways. The House put a repealer on over there, and that was the amendment, was the repealer. And what that does is takes an enhanced penalty out from 26,000 to 39,1 for $100. What this bill says that the $300 enhanced penalty from 39,600 up, which corresponds with our driver's licenses, where if you have a triple axle trailer or basically a gooseneck or a house trailer or something that's 39.6, then you don't have the enhanced penalty from that down. So the common ground on this would be to undo the House's action and have an enhanced penalty from that weight range from 26,000 to 39.6. So you'd have an enhanced penalty for the one-ton trucks at $100. Testimony was from the department is that and why the House removed that repealer was because it's not used. Because law enforcement or courts or whatever would rather go to the $300 enhanced penalty, and the old penalty was not used at all after the $300 penalty got enacted. So the common ground on this, if you wanted to have an enhanced penalty from 26 to 39.6, would be to have the enhanced penalty provision put back in and on second reading come back in and delete the action of the House. But we wanted to have the discussion on the floor so people would understand how those weights work into it, how the penalties work into it, and the need to get rid of the $39,600 on the equipment. As to the question about are these vehicles able to brake, well, if you look back at the technology that we had back in the 70s, the 60s, or whenever, when the 26-pound was put forth, the technology on some of these new pickups and the brake control system going back to the trailers that has to be there, the technology is improved as far as braking because all your wheels brake. It's electronically controlled on all your new trucks now. So, you know, the safety factor there, I think, is to my understanding, is probably all right. Going up to 39.6, if you're pulling a diesel dually down the road with a triple axle trailer,
and you got 20,000 pounds on it, and the whole rig weighs 39,000, you're going to be in pretty good shape. Likewise, on the 26,000-pound trucks, if you want that enhanced penalty in there from 26,000 to 39.6, then certainly go back in and undo the action of the House.
Senator Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I liked this bill when I started here a little bit ago, then I didn't like it. Now I think I like it. And Mr. Chairman, the reason I think I like it, what it says is that if you go from 26 to 39,000 pounds, you're not automatically fined the $300. And a lot more vehicles are in that category that it's not like it used to be years ago when that really was the bigger trucks. Now it's more the one-ton, two-ton, even some three-ton pulling horse trailers. So if that's my understanding of it, then I believe this is a good bill.
Further testimony. Okay. Having heard the words question, I'll stall it till the real chairman gets up here. Mr. Chairman, I wish you'd have stayed back there and done 60 cents.
The question is on Senator Johnson's motion that when the committee of the whole rise and report it do so if it do pass motion on House Bill 39. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Okay, House Bill 39 is passed committee of the whole. The next file for our consideration, I've got House Bill 49. Reading clerk, please read in the bill. What did I do with that pen?
House Bill number 49, Abandoned Vehicles 2, an act relating to abandoned vehicles, sponsored by the Transportation Committee.
I'm not sure it was me or whether it was me. Where? Oh, that's a different
it one. Was referred to Committee number 8, Transportation, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Boner, Emmerich, Escobel, Johnson, and Meyer. Senator Meyer, Chairman.
Senator Johnson.
Once again, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a do pass recommendation. And once again, I'm going to turn it over to that brilliant senator from Eastern Laramie County, me. Mr. Chairman.
Hold it, Boner. Boner.
Oh, that's.
Yeah.
That's right. You agreed to it. How about the young, brilliant senator from
Commerce? Nobody knows, sir.
Senator Boner.
Might as well be, yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe there's a standing committee amendment to this. Has that been read in?
No, it has. Would the clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill number 49, Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to engrossed copy, page 5, line 8.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move that amendment, and we'll get to it in due time. So, fellow senators, this bill is in response to our junk vehicle statutes and basically concerns from those in the towing industry that it was exceptionally difficult to get rid of vehicles that basically become abandoned in their lots. So these vehicles are generally not of much value. The folks who do abandon them don't really want to have much to do with them. In fact, it's possible that the paying the bill for the tow is probably not worth the value of the vehicle. So there's no real way, as it stands right now, to easily legally dispose of these vehicles. So this bill provides for a new streamlined procedure to obtain a junk vehicle certificate or junk vehicle title to dispose of such vehicles. So this is a result of a significant study during the interim. We had to bring a diverse group of people together. This includes the towers, county clerks, treasurers, insurance companies, law enforcement. They all started out relatively divergent in their views as to what had to happen to get at this issue, but eventually came out in support of this this piece of legislation you see in front of you. So we also had, of course, be very conscious of the due process due to the original owner of the vehicle. So as you'll see, there's a 30-day wait period after you contact the current title owner via certified mail to ensure that they do have, in fact, some due process. They do have an opportunity to say, no way, I do want to retain ownership of this vehicle. So getting into the bill, I won't go through it line by line. However, pages 2 through 4, that creates the new junk vehicle title. So it's a new type of title that you can have. It goes through the requirements and procedures that it would take to obtain such a title. You can say they need several statements, notarized statements, such as the tow bill, a statement from law enforcement. They have to complete a title search to ensure that the person who currently owns the title is contacted, in addition to any lien holders, any insurance companies that might have a claim on that vehicle as well. You also see that moving on to pages 5 through 8 roughly, we go through the definition section and create and specify what qualifies as a junked or abandoned vehicle. And this cleans up some statutes. You'll see there's a few deletions as we get later on in the bill. We basically consolidate those definitions into a more concise definitions page on pages 5 through 8. And I draw your attention also to page 11, which denotes a procedure, the due process for everybody the individuals that currently hold the title and the lien holders. Certainly the insurance companies were glad to see that if there's a lien on the vehicle, that the lien holders as well as the title holder would be contacted. So like I said, it's 30 days after the notice has been sent out via certified mail. So we can contact the current lien holder and ensure that their interests are taken care of as well. You see that this is a green copy. Amendments in the other chamber cleaned up, made some technical corrections. For example, we had to ensure that if we're going to have a public auction, it was in fact public. It wasn't going to be a private auction to dispose of these vehicles. Denotes that the titles have to be branded, and that is a technical term. It means that the county clerks are going to go into their system and ensure that it says in the system this is a junk vehicle, so it doesn't appear somewhere else at some later date, or that title doesn't appear somewhere else at some later date. Also, it changed the value of the vehicles, the maximum value of these junked or abandoned vehicles, from $2,500 to $2,000. The $2,500 was based on our statutes for the bonded title, and recognizing that these vehicles may, by their very nature, be of somewhat lesser value, we lowered that standard to $2,000, also keeping in mind the rights of those who might currently hold the title. The repealer at the end is simply the definitions. Like I said, those were definitions that were consolidated into the definitions section. So that's the bill. That's what it does. I certainly stand for any questions.
Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Appreciate the work of our Transportation Committee on this issue. I know it's been around for 2 or 3 years, a really tough lift on this one. I just had a quick question on page 6 regarding the 24-hour period. That seems a little bit narrow to me. I'm just thinking of some of the folks who drive vehicles that may break down out there and they have to leave them out in the middle of nowhere and by the time they can get back to get them. So my question would be, how long before the Highway Patrol puts one of those stickers on there? Are we giving folks enough time to get that vehicle and get it home somewhere? Thank you.
Senator Boner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's my understanding that would vary depending on the situation. There's nothing in statute which says you have to wait a certain amount of time before you put that notice on the vehicle. Certainly, anecdotally, based on the evidence or the testimony that we received, generally law enforcement will, if somebody has some sort of emergency, they'll generally get a call from that individual stating that I left my vehicle at this juncture or this part of the road. I'll be back for it at a certain time, but I need to coordinate with the towing company, coordinate with a shop in town. I need to get a ride, all that sort of stuff. And they're willing to certainly work with those individuals. So it varies depending on the amount of time it takes law enforcement to actually identify that vehicle as being abandoned. Then that's when that 24-hour period starts. And Mr. Chairman, I apologize. I neglected to talk about the standing committee amendment. If it's good for you, we can talk about that now. And that's simply on pages 8 and 9. It basically deletes the changes that we're making to 31.13.104. The idea being that we needed to cover the individual who might be incapacitated or unable to contact law enforcement. But it was brought to our attention during testimony that may conflict with 31.5.1105, which states that if you are in an accident, you are required to contact law enforcement. And certainly, if you're incapacitated, at some point somebody else is going to make that call for you, and law enforcement would be at the scene anyways. That's why that amendment exists. And I suppose I'll take questions on the amendment.
Questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions. Question on the amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Standing Committee number 1 to Senate file or House Bill 49 has passed the committee. We're back on the bill. Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask about the bill is how do you address the issue of towing charges and storage charges so that you find that your vehicle is towed? And then you go to recover your car, you find out that the towing charge was some astronomical fee that makes no sense. And there is a daily storage charge, and at some point you say, well, I can't hire an attorney, and my car is under $2,000. You throw up your hands, and then I assume at that time it's declared abandoned, so you, in effect, appropriate the man's property because they didn't have the resources to contest the towing charge and the storage fees.
Senator Boner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Certainly a very good question, and that's why there's limits in the statute to begin with to prevent overcharging the individual in question. And that's why we went in and updated, because it had been quite some time since they were updated, if you look at the numbers that were crossed out there. So I see this as a balance between the obligation of the towing company to perform this service. Certainly that they need to be reimbursed, and the rights of the individual who owns the vehicle. That's why we have the limits here. And on page 19 is what we're referring to, lines 6 through 20, so that we don't overcharge them. Additionally, that's why we have limits on what qualifies as an abandoned or junk vehicle with that $2,000 limit. So we're doing our best to strike a balance there to make sure that the towing company isn't overcharging and providing for that due process. If the individual who owns the title currently wants to pay the towing company for their time and for their expertise, that they have an option of doing that, but recognizing that the towing companies can't be asked to do this for below what it takes to actually their expenses required to perform this necessary service.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I had a case once, and it involved an individual who was actually living in his car. And you might think that's somewhat funny, but it isn't. There's a lot of people that don't have anywhere to go or whatnot. And the case went, he was arrested on a charge ultimately I got dismissed. But in the meantime, they had taken his car and they impounded it. And he had no money whatsoever to get his vehicle back out of that, which was basically his home and all his property and everything else was in there. And it ended up in a 1983 civil rights case. And the city of Cheyenne ended up paying money to compensate this individual. So I think the good president raises a valid point. Sometimes it becomes a fait accompli. You cannot get your vehicle out because the charges are so high. And yet, many times, they're not a valid confiscation. So I just throw that out there for your edification here. But, sometimes these people just can't afford the charge that's in there, and then their property gets abandoned.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, following up on that, I'd like to understand better about page 19 and how it comes together. So does this mean that we are setting the fees above which you may not charge, and that means that if your car is towed, you can redeem your car for these costs, or is this simply saying these are the maximum fees that you'll be allowed to recover if you supply this affidavit of junk vehicle? If it's the latter, we haven't solved the problem because the tow company can certainly say my towing fee was $1,000 and my storage fee is $10 a day, and you can't. The person says, well, I can't afford that, and I can't hire an attorney, so I can't pick up my car. And then the towing company waits for 9 months to a year and allows the storage fees to accumulate. And at that time, they supply the affidavit, and they allowed these expenses on the affidavit. But that's not what distrained the vehicle. What distrained the vehicle was the initial towing fee. So he just, by saying, well, I'm not going to let you pick up your car unless you pay up this exorbitant towing charge. And then they hold the car long enough, maybe 6 months to a year, until the statutory storage fees rise high enough to declare it junk. And then they say, well, now I'm declaring it junk because I've had it for a year. Of course, the reason I've had it for a year is because my initial storage fees, I'm not trying to collect those fees now. Now I'm collecting a storage fee. If you talk about that.
Senator Boner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Certainly some very, very good points, very good discussion. I will say that during our study that we did not consider the possibility of somebody be living in their vehicle. That's something that we could delve deeper into, and we could get an answer for that, how that relates and how that may or may not affect this statute moving forward. Very, very good point. As far as the tow company simply basically running out the clock and in doing so, maybe not necessarily running out the clock, but increasing the storage, the days for storage, in the hopes of sort of crowding out the current owner and ensuring that they're not going to be able to ever pay for the towing charge. That's why we have a cap on all of these, if you will, variable costs between the mileage and the amount of days that it stays on the lot. You'll see that on page 19, line 6, there are that's talking about the mileage. It's $6 per mile, but no more than $100. Whichever is greater, never mind. And additionally, on line 11, you'll see that, responding directly to the question, that it's capped there at 30 days. So that'd be certainly no more than $600. That's the effective cap. So, and returning, obviously, the mileage is going to be what it's going to be returning to that initial line there. So, there's no way that anybody really has any control over that variable. So responding directly to the question from the president, there is a cap there, a $600 cap, effectively, when it comes to the amount of time a towing company can keep their that vehicle on the lot and charge for it.
Any other questions? Seeing none, the question is on Senator Johnson's motion, and when the Committee of the Whole Rice report adduce a favorable recommendation on House Bill 49. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. House Bill 49 is passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again.
You've heard the question. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Mr. President.
Standing committee reports.
February 25, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporations, to whom was referred House Bill 75, Professional Licensure Boards, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Case, Hicks, Meyer, Pappas, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. February 25, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporations, to whom was referred House Bill 77, Electronic Assessment Forms, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Case, Hicks, Meyer, Pappas, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. February 25, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporations, to whom was referred House Bill 108, Foreign LLC Operation in Wyoming, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Case, Hicks, Meyer, Pappas, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. February 25, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporations, to whom was referred House Bill 35, Engrossed, Pharmacy Benefit Manager Regulation, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Case, Hicks, Meyer, Pappas, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. February 25, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporations, to whom was referred House Bill 107, Uniform Real Property Electronic Recording Act, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with the recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Case, Hicks, Meyer, Pappas, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman.
We're at that order of business of signing enrolled acts. Enrolled Act number 7 being original Senate File 26.
Enrolled Act number 7 being original Senate File 26, an act relating to administration of government.
I'm about ready to sign original or enrolled Act number 7 being original Senate File number 26. I've so signed. Enrolled Act number 8 being original Senate File number 8. Lucky Bill.
Enrolled Act number 8 being original Senate File number 8, an act relating to highway, bicycle, and pedestrian safety.
I'm about ready to sign enrolled Act Number 8 being original Senate File Number 8. I have so signed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk for now.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move the Senate stand in recess until 2 p.m.
Announcements? Senator Von Flatern?
Thank you, Mr. President. Make sure I have this right. Committee number 9, Minerals and Economic Development, will meet 15 minutes after noon recess tomorrow to take care of what we didn't do this morning due to committee meetings. We'll do interviews on Kenneth Hendricks for Wyoming Pipeline Authority and Industrial Siting Council for Susan Cannon. That's tomorrow, 15 minutes after noon recess. And then we are going to meet today at noon, approximately 10 minutes to 12, to discuss House Bill 11, Engrossed Energy Producing States Coalition. Thank you.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet in Jonah Room S-19 at 12:30, 1 hour from now, to take up House Bill number 8, Engrossed Property Assessment Test Rules, House Bill 67, Senior Center Meal Sales Tax Exemption, and House Bill 84, Catering Permits.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee transportation, joint transportation, will meet Monday, February 29th, upon adjournment in Jonah Room L-51 to discuss interim topics.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 2, members of the committee, pay attention, and for the good senator from Fremont County, we have a re-referral, House Bill 53, Special Districts Task Force. I'd like to take that up right now, since we have a little time. And S-27, it's a re-referral. The bill is Special Districts Task Force, and we'll take up that re-referral as soon as we can.
Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 5, Agriculture and Public Lands, will meet upon adjournment today in Jonah S-27. Take up House Bill 41, Omnibus Water Bill Construction, House Bill 117, Pesticide Applicator Certification Program Funding, House Bill 36, Engrossed Livestock Dealers, House Bill 97, Engrossed Wolf Depredation Compensation, House Bill 104, Engrossed Food Freedom Cooked Products.
Yep. Senator Bebout, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 12, Rules, will meet today, Thursday, February 25th, upon adjournment in Jonah S-19 to discuss and consider the following House bills. House Bill 27, Legislative Oversight. House Bill 59, Engrossed Appropriation for the Legislature. House Bill 29, Revisers Bill. And House Bill 30, Obsolete Laws. And Mr. President, a heads up for members of the Senate, if you have any bill that you want to have be there when the governor signs it, you know, all you need to do is just call him and he'll set up a schedule for you. I'm reminding you that you must take action. He must take action on rolled acts within 3 days of receipt. So if a bill gets signed as an enrolled act and you want to have him sign it and you want to be there, be sure and get it before the 3-day period expires. Unless he vetoes it, then that's a whole different scenario, Mr. President.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I think, talk about the Management Council meeting next Wednesday and getting your interim topics to your chairman.
Thank you, Mr. President, for reminding me. And all you committee chairmen, that is the drop-dead date next Wednesday for Management Council, so we'd appreciate you having your interim work set aside and be prepared to come and discuss it with Management Council. And I'm not sure, Mr. President, what time that meeting is, but I believe it's at noon. I'm not sure. We'll let you know.
Thank you. Any further announcements? If not, you've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That motion has been adopted. The Senate shall stand in recess until 2 p.m.